Well, we didn't get to go over all the ladies that were at the Women of Faith convention last weekend, so I thought I'd give a couple of the others a chance. And I guess I'm going to have my mom go first. So if she'd like to come up at this time.
First of all, I want to thank everyone for allowing us to go and sending us. It's just such a time for renewal and refreshment. And it's funny because what I was going to say last week is very different from what I'm going to say today. So I don't know what happened, but I think maybe God's been talking to me. One of the first things that I got from Women of Faith, of course, was to draw closer to God. Just draw closer, be more aware of Him. And God laid that on my heart, and then I start to argue with God. I'm sorry, people. But I go, God, I honor you, I praise you, I pray, I read the Bible, I help people. I mean, yeah, I do that. And then this voice comes to me, and it really is a voice, and it says, but Roseanne, you don't listen. And I hate that. Gives me chills when I even say it. Because in our busy life, that so often happens. And I blame it on OA onset ADD, which is old age onset attention deficit disorder. So that's what I blame it on. But God really wants me to listen. And one of the, I think it was Christine Kane, she said, we must exchange whispers with God for the roars of the world. I probably didn't say that. Roars of the world. That is so true. And don't you just feel like the world is roaring at you? I feel that way so much of the time that I just want to kind of run away. But I can't run away. I need to listen to God, and then I need to follow what He is telling me to do. One of the lessons I learned was, I hope this turns out as funny as it was. Okay, so we're in the car, and I'm not used to sitting in the back seat, first of all. So I'm in the back seat, and I'm trying really hard to get my seatbelt on. I can't do it. So we'd driven maybe 50 yards, I don't know, not very far. So I'm going, I can't get my seatbelt on, I can't get my seatbelt on. And so I felt like I was in a clown car for a little bit because everybody was talking to me and telling me, giving me advice of how to get the seatbelt on. And then Sharon gets up on top of me and shows me how to get the seatbelt on. And then all of a sudden, this little voice from behind me says, I got it. And Annabelle was handing me the correct seatbelt. Now, I'm going to blame being left-handed on this. I was taking this seatbelt over to this side, which there are no places to plug your seatbelt in. Well, Annabelle, being much wiser than I am, she goes, okay, here's your seatbelt, great grandma. So I got it, and I'm going to remember that forever. That was my first lesson. That's what I'm going to listen to God for. He's got it. He's got it. We don't have to worry. Put our cares down. We don't have to worry. He's got it. And that was not what I was going to say, but so listen to the whispers of God, and may they be much, much louder than the roars of the world. And just keep our eyes open and keep my mouth shut.
Well, you know, there's nothing like a little kid's voice, is there? Number one, it's just so innocent when you hear it. And it's just that, and I can hear Annabelle saying to Grandma, I got it, it's right here. You know, that's true. So many times, that's what God's saying to us. Only, you know, I don't know if it's a little kid's voice, but we are to be as children, not childish, but childlike, in listening to Him and understanding and saying, you know, it's not near as complicated as we thought it was. Because we as adults, they are. We as adults try to really convolute and just make everything so difficult. Remember when you were taking a test? And you knew the answer immediately. You knew the answer, point blank. But you got to thinking, can it really be that simple? There's got to be more to the answer than this. I couldn't have known it that easily. And so we try to overthink it and make it even more difficult. And I think that's what's happened to God's word over the period of years, hasn't it? Churches have said, well, you know what, there should be more restrictions. There should be more things that we pile on your shoulders, Brother John. I'm going to put this pile on here, and I'm going to put this pile on here. And even though Christ came to take it all off of there, we're just going to pile some more stuff back on. Because you don't like you standing straight up. We want you hunched over a little bit. God says, no, I sent my son not to condemn you, but to set you free. So, praise the Lord for that. Next one I was going to have come up is a lady that we've known for quite a few years. I knew her when she had shining red hair. And it was her first year to go with Julie, and Julie felt so convicted because Sharon said, why haven't you ever asked me before? And Julie just went, ouch, you know. But you know, it's never too late. And we're so glad that you went this year. And if you would come up and share a little bit. This is Sharon Reeves.
I used to go to church all the time when I was very young. And I loved it. None of my family members ever went, but they didn't discourage me. And I had a wonderful pastor and his wife, and they were like a second family. And, you know, time goes on, and they passed away, and I drifted away from the church, and I grew up, and I got married, and I had children. And every once in a while, I'd go try to find a church that I liked, and I never fit. And it was hard with the little ones and the no babysitter, and you don't want to impose on mom, and, you know, all these excuses that I had for not going. And recently, you know, my children are grown, and I don't have to watch grandchildren every day. And I thought, I really would like to go back. And I knew that Marty was a pastor I've known for years. And I went, I would really like to go and see if I fit in. And I came a few Sundays ago, and it was like, this feels good. This feels like me, normal, real people, not pretending, not dressing up and all being silly and stuffy, and I'm not a stuffy person. And then when I found out about the revival, I was kind of excited and a little scared because I hadn't been faithful in years, really, except in my heart, which I guess counts for something, but... And let me tell you, revivals have changed greatly since the 70s. I mean, wow. It's a huge difference, you know. Clothing, attitude, music, everything was different. And I felt a little awkward at first, and I thought, but this is more real. This is more equipped to today than what we had in the 70s, which was a little crazy. But... it felt good, and I spent an entire weekend with lovely ladies, and no, not a cuss word did I hear. I love that. I don't like to go out in public. I don't like to go to the shopping mall because I hear all kinds of negative, and I didn't hear anything all weekend except good things. And by the end of it, I just felt so much better. I felt rejuvenated and revived, and I went, this is a good thing. And then I turned to my friend of 25 years and I said, this is the 19th year and you're just now telling me. But I had not revealed to my friend of 25 years that I even had faith. So she didn't want to impose on me. And I know that because she's that kind of person. But boy, once she found out, it's like gung-ho, and we're texting back and forth, and praise the Lord, and it's like, oh my gosh, I can be real. And I love it. And I got much more out of it than that. But that's what I needed. And anybody that went, I'm sure, would have found something good for themselves, without a doubt.
It's good to have Sharon in church with us. She actually travels further than we do, because she comes all the way out from Olivehurst to come out here. So... when we are almost an international church now, because Olivehurst is just right on the edge of the world, isn't it? Anyway, the last one that we want to hear from today, because the birthday girl wants to wait till next week, is my wife. And I'll let you just come and give your experience for this year.
I know. Can you believe I'm up here with no notes, too? Well, this year, let me see if I can go without emotions, but Sharon... she did. She convicted me. If I can say anything to anybody in here, it would be, especially the women, because we're going back next year. If there's a person in your life that that you haven't thought about reaching out to and inviting, do it now. That's all I can tell you. Because as I was talking to her, we're sitting there listening to them. Next year is the 20-year farewell tour of Women of Faith. And I was sitting there and I was thinking to myself, my goodness, how many years have I really been coming? And I would say at least 18, it might have been 19, but I was going for several years before we even started coming to church here and having the ladies go with my other friend. When I turned to Sharon and I said that, Sharon did, she said, why haven't you ever invited me before? And I just felt so convicted because I thought I had no answer, period. It wasn't because I didn't think that she believed in the Lord or anything else. I just had never asked. Well, that's true, I did. I said, a shame on me. And so this year has just been, it's, you know, we've been going through a few years where the turbulence of dealing with Randy has been difficult. And I told Marty, I'm getting emotional, because I didn't really realize that I was in such a dark spot from having to deal with that. And so this year for me, it was going, I didn't take a whole lot of notes. I just listened, and I was able to be there. Every ticket was filled. I was with fabulous women that I love dearly. We all went to dinner together. Every single one of us made it to dinner. We had the upstairs banquet room. From there, we went to the conference. All the seats were full. And we just had a very, very awesome time. And probably Sheila Walsh, she wasn't there last year. She speaks to me every year. But Sheila Walsh went through a period in her life where she was in a mental hospital. And she spoke about that this year. And I thought, you know, God's talking to me. Because here we've been dealing with Randy's situation. It's really been difficult, a lot more so than I really wanted to say. I just praise the Lord. He's working miracles now because he is. And I want to thank everybody for their prayers, the support. And that's really, I don't have a whole lot more to say. It was just an awesome, awesome weekend. It always is. And I am very grateful that Sharon is here. And this is, she's, I'm grateful she came to church today. We had her on my heart last night. Do I need to go pick her up? Do you I think she'll be there? I didn't talk to her since Thanksgiving. And here she shows up. So I'm very grateful. She comes from Olivehurst. Sharon didn't say she deals with a lot of health issues. So going this weekend was a struggle for her. She could have called me and said, Julie, I'm not going to go. And she didn't do it. She struggled through whatever she had to be there. And I'm very, very grateful and thankful that she made it.
It's very difficult to organize 23 ladies going to one spot. And then to who is going to room with who? Who is going to sit next to who? You know, because you can't sit a real expressive person right next to a very analytical person, because the expressive person is going to want to be talking the whole time while the analytical one is going to be wanting to take notes all the time. So my wife, bless her heart, she thinks about all of those factors when she's saying, okay, I'm giving this person, I'm going to group these people together and these people together. And you know what? It's wonderful that the Lord ends up sorting it all out and just making it all work. So thank you both to Linda and to Julie very much for all the hard work that you put in. And Charlotte, thank you for in advance for next week, because I know the hard work that you put in for the bread of life. So as I was studying this week, you know, I was thinking about a lot of the Women of Faith that went on last week, and kind of the theme about the labels there and about who you were and who you now are. And I wanted to ask a real simple question here. Who here amongst us believes that you can raise anybody from the dead? Who here believes that you could raise anybody or anything from the dead? No, that you can, personally.
Me personally?
Yeah, personally.
If I get lucky.
Something that has been dead for over a day.
No.
Anybody? Then why do we feel like we should, after we've been saved by the Lord, try to resurrect our old self? And there was silence. It was a major question that I had in my mind, because I came across the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to read it off of here, because the one I have is a little bit simpler version. So I wanted to read it from up here. This is the New International. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. And don't you like this? It's both in English and Spanish now. So, el amor de Cristo. Oh, sorry, I'll go to the other one. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. You realize what he's saying right there? Paul's saying that because Christ died for us, we all die. And who do we die out to but our flesh, our old selves? Our old selves. That means all the things that we... Who here likes standing in front of the mirror a long time? I mean, the first thing you do, you get up in the morning, and all you want to do is go stand in front of the mirror. Check out the backside. Check out all this, right? And if you stand there and just look at yourself long enough, do you not get to a point where you start to feel a little uncomfortable? Who here has ever read anything, any positive affirmations to yourself in the mirror? Does it not feel funny? Like, who is that strange person? He's saying the same thing I am. But that is the person that we see. The reason we feel funny about it is because we know who that person is. Do we not? We know not only who that person is now, but we know who that person was. And sometimes when we try to say those positive affirmation things to us, we say to ourselves, you silly liar. Who are you trying to fool? I know who you are. And so we stop doing it after about the second or third day. But Paul is saying here that because Christ died for us, we too have died once we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. So that person that you think you are seeing in the mirror is not the person of old. That is actually a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Here's what the scripture says. Let's go on to the next one. Verse 15. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Verse 16. So from now on, that means from this point forward, when somebody says, so from now on, that means don't ever worry about what happened in the past. Can you do anything? Anybody here, can you do anything about what happened yesterday or the day before? Can you control the actions that have already gone by? They're past. They're a canceled check. Once a check has been cashed, you're not going to get it back, are you? It's gone. Everything is here forward. It's the here and now, and it's a promissory note. It's from now on. So from now on, we regard no one as worldly, from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. You've got to realize that the apostles once saw Jesus Christ simply as a man. Did they not? They saw him as a man. Did they probably see some flaws in Jesus that they thought were flaws? Oh, well, he doesn't. You know, who knows? Maybe he just doesn't care for that person. Maybe he's not being as compassionate for that person as he should be. I'm sure that there are people that thought that. Well, why would Jesus leave his hometown and not save the people in his hometown? Why would he just take his guys and leave? Aren't we more important because we're his hometown? But yet Jesus tried to preach in his hometown and nobody believed him. But I'm sure there's some that maybe his mom says, no, you need to come home. You need to do this now. Remember when Jesus went to a little wedding, and his mom said, son, excuse me, we're out of wine. And Jesus goes, yeah, so? Basically, what's it to me? You need to change this water into wine. Mom, it's not time for me to be revealed yet. She said, no, you will do it when? Now. And so Jesus did what? He turned the water into wine at the behest of his mom. Do you think if Jesus didn't do what he was told to do by his mom, that maybe his mom would have scolded him a little bit? Do you think that Jesus in his growing up period of time was reprimanded or had to be corrected at any time? Do you think that he was a little boy that never had mischief in him? We don't think about that, do we? We don't, because we see Jesus as walking on water from the day he was born until the day he died. That's how we pretty much see Jesus. We don't see a 3-year-old or a 2-year-old going through the terrible twos, do we? We don't see a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old maybe being a little bit selfish in some of the things that because of his nature, or the human nature that was born in Christ, even though he was born of the Spirit, he still had flesh in him, did he not? What about those crazy teenage years? Do you think that they were all peaches and cream for Mary and Joseph? Do you think that maybe he might have all those brothers and sisters that maybe he cut up once or twice and pulled pranks or joked around with anybody In his family, Christ was as normal as you and I. He was as human as you and I. People saw him, for the most part, as a human. They didn't see him as the Son of God. When the disciples met him, did they see him initially as the Son of God? Anybody? They saw him as a prophet, maybe a preacher, at least. A preacher, a minister. It wasn't until Jesus asked Simon Bar-Jonah, he says, who do they say that I am? Who? And some say, the apostles answered, some say that you're Elijah, some say that you're Isaiah. And Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Simon Bar-Jonah answered, he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It was at that point that they started to view Christ as something greater. And because Christ died and rose again, we too, when we received Jesus Christ, we died out to that thing that we see in the mirror each and every day. That person is not the person that you think you are. You are far better than that person in the mirror. You are a brand new creature. It's just hard for you to see because what kind of eyes are you looking through? You're looking through human eyes. You're hearing through a human ear. Are you hearing God's little soft voice saying, here it is. Here's the answer. Here I am. Or are you listening to, as I said, the roar of the world? Because see, the roar of the world wants to keep you pinned down. The roar of the world wants to remind you of who you were. Because the roar of the world wants to hold you back. To make you feel that you are unworthy of God's love through his son Jesus. The roar of the world says, well, you're not dressed appropriately today, John. If you were truly a Christian, no Christian would ever wear tennis shoes to church. I know they're new. People would say, well, Brother Marty, you're a minister. Don't you know that your body is the temple of God? Why are you so overweight? That's not Christian-like. The world roars and tells us what we're doing wrong. Does it not? How many times does the world come and compliment you and praise you and lift you up? It's not what the world does. The world pulls you down to its depths. Christ came. Did he get pulled down to the cross or did he get lifted up to the cross? He was lifted up to the cross. Seems a strange place to go to save the world, doesn't it? That he's lifted up to be crucified. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. In the 17th verse, therefore, that means from now on, again, if anyone is in Christ, he or she or child is a new creation. Brand new creation. Hence the term, you are born again. Jesus told Nicodemus in the book of John, chapter 3, a man must be born again of water and of spirit to enter into the kingdom of God. This is that promise. We are a new creation, and in a new creation, that means there is a new life, a brand new life. Who here looks at a butterfly and says, it's really just a caterpillar? Anybody? I never look at a beautiful butterfly with its gorgeous adornment of color and say, oh, it's just an ugly caterpillar. It's a leaf eater. I just sit there in awe and go, what a beautiful, beautiful insect. Because really, that's what it is. It's a new creation, isn't it? It's a new creation. Do you see the colorful wings that God has adorned you with? Do you see the beautiful coat of colors that he has put on you? Do you see the jewels that sparkle? Because that's how you are adorned through Jesus Christ. You're not that person that wakes up in the morning and their hair is clear up here and they're struggling for their cup of coffee. You're in your most beautiful outfit each and every day, each and every moment. Why? Because you are a new creation. You are beautifully made in his image. The new has come. And verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us this ministry of reconciliation. All of this is from the Father. Go forth knowing that you are not the person that you see through your human eyes. Look at yourself through the eyes of God. You won't stop at what you see on the outside. You will see down to your soul for who you are and who you are becoming. That's the beauty of our Father.